Hey, this is Brian Zond, and I'm glad that you're interested in the podcast. You know, it's a free podcast, and it'll always be that way. But if you would like to give and help us out, that would be awesome, deeply appreciated. If you want to do that, you can do that through the Word of Life website or through the Word of Life mobile app. Anyway, God bless you. I hope you enjoy the podcast.
I want to give you some tools. I want to give you some gear that you can put in your pack as we are hiking with Jesus on this journey. And one of those tools, an essential piece of gear on the journey, is what we're calling the four practices. And we're going to take as a text Philippians chapter 4. Verses 8 and 9. We'll start there and then jump into the four practices. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. The way of Jesus is not an opinion that we hold. The way of Jesus is a way that we live our life. So following Jesus is not merely subscribing to a set of ideas. Following Jesus has motion. It has movement. It's a way that we live. We believe that Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried. And on the third day, happy Easter, Jesus alive again. He's risen from the dead. So we believe in what we call the resurrection of Jesus. But resurrection is not a religious opinion. Resurrection is not a piece of theological trivia. Resurrection is the way that we live because we practice resurrection. We live a certain way because Jesus is alive. And so Paul here in Philippians 4, in writing to the church, he mentions the brothers. That doesn't mean he's forgetting about the sisters. He's writing to both. In writing to the brothers and sisters in Philippi, he says that there are things that we do believe and that we should be thinking about these things. That we should be thinking about true things and honorable things, just things, pure things, lovely things, commendable things, excellent things, praiseworthy things. That there are things that we believe as followers of Jesus, and so we should think upon them. We should ponder on these things. But it's not good enough just to think about certain things or to keep them in our minds. He goes on to say, and practice these things. Those things, Paul is saying, that you have received from him, that you have learned of him, that you have seen in his life. He says, don't just think about them, but practice them. Do these things. We have been talking about the journey for a couple weeks here at Word of Life Church. We are on the journey. The journey is how we describe who we are and what we do. The journey is how we identify ourselves as a people, as a distinct church. Because if you are a Word of Lifer, perhaps you've been asked, so what kind of church is Word of Life? And you have probably done like I have done, and that is just start scratching your head for a minute and say, well, it's complex. Well, now we're giving you vocabulary and language so you Word of Lifers can explain. This is the kind of church. This is who we are as a people. This is who we are as a church. We are following Jesus. We are followers of Jesus. This is who we are, and what do? We do worship, and we do justice, and we do community. And we love this picture of a journey because it underscores that we are committed to be a people that are not static, but a people who are moving. We are in motion following Jesus. Because we do believe in the resurrection. We do believe that Jesus is not just a good man who had good ideas who died 2,000 years ago, but we believe in the living Christ who has become the cosmic Christ who fills the whole world with his presence. We believe that Jesus is alive and that he is continuing his work in and through us, through the church. And so how do we speak of ourselves? How do we identify ourselves? We are followers of Jesus. And following Jesus is something that we do together. That's why we have these gatherings and we do stuff together. Because this journey is not a solo project. This journey is something that we do together as a church. We are together following Jesus. But the journey is self-initiated. What that means is that we are doing this thing together. We are following Jesus together, but you as an individual have to provide your own initiation to actually be a part of the journey. So we're doing it together, but the motivation and the initiation to actually be a follower of Jesus comes from you. Because the way of Jesus is the way of invitation and not manipulation. Jesus isn't going to manipulate you. I'm not going to manipulate you, even though I probably could, but that would be devilish of me because that's not the Jesus way. I probably could. I could manipulate you. I could as a preacher, as a teacher, I could play on your emotions, and I in doing so could manipulate you in a certain way. And Lord knows I could make you feel guilty and guilt you into doing stuff, but that's not the Jesus way. The Jesus way is not the way of manipulation. The way of Jesus is invitation, because Jesus says to all of us, come and follow me. And so you as an individual have the responsibility to say yes to Jesus and to say yes to the journey at Word of Life. Yes, I'm going to be a person of worship and justice and community. This comes from you. So we do it together, but it has to begin with you. Now understand that Jesus promised not to leave us as orphans, but to send his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come to be our companion. The Holy Spirit has come to be our helper. So it is not a matter of willpower. Following Jesus cannot be reduced simply to willpower. Rather, it's a willingness to open up to the Spirit's power. So the Spirit will enable you. The Spirit will work on you. The Spirit will transform you. The Spirit will give you the desires to follow Jesus. But you have to choose every day whether you are going to cooperate with the Holy Spirit or work against the Holy Spirit in your life. If you will choose to work with the Holy Spirit, then you open up yourself to his work and the Holy Spirit will work with you. But there are still decisions that you have to make, choices you have to make. A will that you have to express. So we are each responsible for our own exploration of the journey. If you haven't taken time to explore how we talk about the journey on our website, I encourage you to do that. WOLC.com/the journey describes in much more detail what we mean by being a people of worship and justice and community. And so it's really up to you to explore the journey in all those three worlds. It's up to you to explore the world of worship and justice and community. Yes, the Holy Spirit is going to help you. Yes, the Holy Spirit is going to transform and change you. But it's really up to you. But what we want to do to help you on the journey is give you tools. Because yes, we do have the Holy Spirit, but we also have the collected wisdom of those who have been following Jesus before us. Because as you know, we don't get to make Christianity up. It's a received faith. We have received the gospel message from those who have gone before us. And not only have they passed on the gospel, but there's wisdom from Christians who have lived before. And so we have summed up a good portion of that wisdom in what we're calling the four practices. And so we offer these to you as a guide. And so I encourage you that as you continue to explore worship and justice and community, as you begin to explore the life of this church and the journey that we're on, I highly encourage you that you take the four practices with you. Think of the four practices as like gear that you put in your backpack. Most of you know that I enjoy hiking and backcountry camping. It's one of my hobbies. Some people may say obsession, and I'm probably fine with that because I don't have a whole lot of hobbies. But when I get on one thing, that's where I put all my thought and all my attention. And so I love backpacking, and I love hiking, and I love backcountry camping. And if you're going to go out into the woods for a couple of days and you want to live, you have to have gear that will help you survive out there. In 2 weeks, I'm going on a trip. I'm going to hike 37 miles in northern Arkansas, Buffalo River Trail. I'm so excited. And so for me, part of the excitement of doing that is the gear and the gadgets and the stuff. I love doing that. And my wife can testify, when I get ready for a trip, I will literally pack my backpack and unpack it multiple times before I go because I want to get it just right. Because again, if you're gonna go backcountry camping and you're gonna survive out in the wilderness for 3-4 days, you gotta take the right gear. I mean, there's essential gear. I mean, you gotta have a map and you gotta have a compass and you gotta have a way to make fire and you gotta have a tent and you gotta have a sleeping bag and you gotta have there's essential gear, and then there's some gear that you choose based on weather conditions and things like that. And I'm not a weather camping kind of person. I see snow and I say no. I mean, if it's going to snow, who wants to sleep in a tent when it's like 20 below in a blizzard, right? That's not me. So I'm a three-season camper and hiker. So spring and summer and fall, that's it for me. So there's some gear that it just really depends on what the weather conditions are going to be like. And then there's some gear that's luxury items, like my little power brick that will charge my phone multiple times so that I can listen to music and even watch a movie on my phone if I want to while I'm in the woods. It's a luxury item, but I like to have that battery pack so I can keep my phone charged up. So think of the four practices as gear for your backpack. Right? We have signed our rock. We have placed it on the cairn. We have committed to following Jesus. We've committed to be together on the journey at Word of Life Church. And so I want to give you some gear. I want to help you out. And the four practices I would say to you is essential gear. It's not like the battery pack to charge your phone. This is like a tent that will keep you alive. And of course, you know, those nylon tents will also keep away bears and critters. Because if there's a bear in the woods, if he sees that tent, he's thinking, no problem, I'll stay away. I wonder that sometimes when I'm camping, because it always happens when I'm camping, and I hear, because when you go camping and you're in the like wilderness, when it gets dark, the woods come alive. And when I hear stuff out there, I think the only thing between me and Bigfoot out there is this piece of nylon. I think if a bear is going to attack me, it's going to see me in that sleeping bag. I think, oh, a human burrito, here we go. But I always just go back to sleep. I think, it's all right. That bear's going to be fine. So think about the four practices as essential gear on the journey. Let's jump right in. Let's start at the beginning. The four practices begin with awareness. Be aware of the presence and activity of God. So you're on the journey. You're following Jesus. You've committed yourself here at Word of Life Church to be on the journey. And so you're beginning to explore worship and justice and community. When you begin to explore something new, it starts with awareness. Being aware of the presence and activity of God. That before you even begin to explore this new thing that's new to you, God has already gone ahead of you. God is already present and at work in that world. We are following Jesus in a God-saturated world. God is not distant and far away. God is intimately connected with the entire world. There is a way of living life as if God does not exist. This is what we call secularism. The secular mind is blind to the presence and activity of God. Secularism is essentially a way of living life as if God is not real or if God is far away. In following Jesus, we reject a secular way of life. Instead, we assume a sacramental way of life. You can contrast the two. If a secular way of life is living life as if there is no God or if God is far away, the sacramental life is a way of living life fully aware and present to the presence of God all around. You know, often we talk about God breaking into our lives, God showing up and popping up in our lives and doing things for us that can't be explained any other way but that God has showed up. And that's good. I think that's great. We should celebrate that. But have you ever thought about it this way? Have you ever thought about it's not so much God popping into our life, but rather all of life and all of creation and society already is participating in the life of God. This is a sacramental way of looking at the world. That it's not God far away in heaven, way out past the galaxy, somewhere God's way out there. No, a sacramental view is that, no, God is everywhere present. This is what Christians have believed from the very beginning. That God is not an object in the universe, that God is the creator of the universe, and he has chosen to be very present everywhere. So in the four practices, it begins simply with acknowledging God's presence, being aware of God's presence. You can do that right now. This might be a good exercise for you to do right now. Just right in this moment, be very aware of the presence of God. Now, again, this is not manipulation. I'm not trying to lead you to feel something. Because with the presence of God, sometimes you can feel it, sometimes you feel nothing. Sometimes the presence of God is like standing on a mighty mountain, looking down into a valley with birds flying by and wildflowers all around. Sometimes the presence of God is like slugging through the desert, just looking for a drink of water. Being aware of the presence of God is not necessarily having some type of emotional encounter. Being aware of the presence of God is about presenting yourself to God. So think about it, just right here in this moment. Maybe just take a deep breath. Just breathe in and exhale. And realize that God is in every molecule of oxygen that you're breathing in. Think about where you're sitting right now, that God is enmeshed in the very seat that you're sitting on, that God is intimately connected with the vibrations of the sound of my voice. Now, we're not saying that creation is God. No, God is creator and we are creation, but God's not far away. He's present. And so as we are learning how to practice these four things, these four practices, we are being aware that we're in this God-saturated world, that we're not alone, that God is very present, that Jesus is faithful to what he said when he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Even to the ends of the earth, Jesus said, I will be with you. Awareness acknowledges that we do not live in a secular world. We live in a sacramental world. So we explore worship and justice and community, and there we find God waiting patiently for us. Part of the adventure of the journey is finding God in surprising places, because God does hide himself. Throughout the scriptures, we are called upon to go seek God, to go seek the face of God. God does not hide himself because he does not want to be found. God hides himself because he wants us to enjoy the adventure of seeking him out. Just like when you played hide and seek with your kids. When my older two boys were younger, I'd play hide and seek with them in the house. And when I would do that, I could, if I wanted to, remain perfectly hidden. Because I'm a pretty good hider, even though I'm 6'2". Right? I can contort my body into small places and I can stay hidden forever. But when I played hide and seek with my kids, it was because I wanted them to find me. So I would always hide on the other side of the bed. And you know, play the four-year-old walks into the room, looks around the room, I don't see dad, and walks right out. Well, I'm on the other side of the room, other side of the bed, rather. And they can't see me because they're not going to walk all the way around the bed. So I'll hear the footsteps coming in and out of the room. And finally, you know, I'll make some noise, you know, I'll rattle something or I'll boop, you know, make a little noise. Why? I'm hiding myself because I want them to have that joy, that sense of adventure and seeking and that joy, that moment that they find me. And so God is already present at work in areas you don't even know. And so when you begin to explore those areas, you find, there's God. He's already there. So we start with awareness. We move from awareness to learning. And these four practices are connected, and you'll see how it works. We move from awareness to learning. Be open to learn new things in the light of Jesus. I got good news for some of you. When Jesus invites us to come and follow him, he does not require us to go to school first. And I know that's good news for some of you. Some of you are like, whew, I'm glad to know that because I hated school. And I understand. I get it. I totally get it. School gets a bad rap. I know. Now, I don't share that sentiment, though, because I honestly loved school. I was in school for 25 straight years without a break. And that's no exaggeration. I kid you not. K through 12, graduated high school, 4 years college, 3 years seminary, 5 years in a doctoral program. And I stopped, not because I wanted to stop, but because I wanted to stay married. And my wife would like to see her husband every once in a while at the house. But if I was still a single guy, I would still be in school because I loved it. But I understand. Not everybody loves school. And I understand that. I do. I understand. Learning, this second practice, learning is not limited to going to school. Learning here in the four practices is not only book learning, though it may include that. Learning on the journey is not about acquiring more knowledge, but acquiring wisdom, right? Because let me be honest, you can have a whole lot of book learning and still be as dumb as a rock. Don't look at the person sitting next to you. Don't look around, look straight ahead. You can go to college, earn degrees, have book learning, and still not be what we would call a wise person. That's better than saying dumb as a rocket, and we'll say that. You are not a wise person. So learning on the journey, because that is what Jesus said, do you remember? Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come and learn from me." But see, this learning is not just gaining God facts or information. It's about becoming a person of wisdom. Participating with us on the journey is not like going to school, but with every adventure, just like every other adventure, on the journey, there is always new things to learn. Each area, worship and justice and community, will have new words for you to learn, a new vocabulary, a new story for you to learn. And this is a part of the journey. Learning new vocabulary, and I'm a fan of that. I think that's a good thing. Learning new words, words you didn't know before, opens up new ways of thinking and new ways of living. So that's a part of the four practices here in learning is just learning new words. For example, we talk about justice on the journey. At Word of Life Church, we talk about social justice. And when I first encountered that word, it made me think of law enforcement. Because for me, justice, that's when the cops catch the bad guys, right? And so if you hear the way I describe that, you will understand my upbringing and my socioeconomic class. But for me, that's how I saw justice. When I heard the word justice, I thought, well, that's when the cops get the bad guys. But as I began to explore and learn, I realized that justice is a deeply rooted word within our scriptures. And justice speaks of God's heart and desire to set right a world gone wrong. That's what justice is. So for me, I had to relearn from our faith, from the scriptures, from the great tradition. I had to learn what that word meant. And learning what that word meant, well, it just opened up new ways of thinking for me. So we have to learn. There are things to learn. There's new vocabulary to learn. There's words that you did not know that you are just going to have to learn. And as followers of Jesus, we never stop learning. We remain lifelong learners on the journey because there is always something else to learn. What you have to do is just stay curious. As long as you stay curious, you will always be a learner. So always be curious. This has happened for me in just Bible reading and Bible study that I do just for myself. I've been studying the Bible, I don't know how long, I guess since I was 15 years old. I've been very fascinated with Scripture, studied Scripture, and there is still times, it just happened not too long ago. I don't remember how long ago it was. I was reading in John, and I saw, I think it was in John chapter 12, and I saw something in there that I had never seen before. I'll tell you what I was doing. I was reading John just in the morning on my phone. I was reading out a Bible app. I was reading it on my phone. And I read something in John chapter 12, and I put my phone down, and I thought, that can't be in the Bible. That Bible app made a mistake. And I don't trust those Bible app programs anyway, because it's not a physical Bible. You know, it's digital. It's like a Gnostic Bible. So I got my real Bible out. And I went to John chapter 12 because I'd seen it on the app and I thought, this can't be true. I went to John chapter 12 because I had never seen that verse before. I didn't know Jesus ever said that. I went to John chapter 12, and when I looked down, I saw that I had it underlined in my real Bible. So apparently at some time I had read it, but I had forgotten about it. If you will just stay curious, You've already become aware of God's presence. If you will stay curious, you will remain a lifelong learner, I promise you. Let's move on. From learning, we move to reflecting. Become aware of God's presence and activity. And again, this happens when you're exploring things in worship, when you're exploring things in justice, when you're exploring things in community. Whatever you're exploring, we take these four practices. So you're in this little area called community, and you're aware of God's activity and presence, and you're learning things about Christian community. You're learning a new vocabulary. You're seeing new things. From learning, we move to reflecting. Being intentional to reflect on what you are experiencing. There's an old adage that experience is the best teacher, and I always argue with that. I don't think that's the most accurate way to describe it. Experience is not the best teacher. Experience reflected upon is the best teacher. I mean, because I don't know about you, but I've met many people that make the same mistake over and over and over. They have a negative experiences, and they keep making bad choices, even though they're getting the bad consequences, because they don't ever take time to think about the stuff they're doing wrong. So experience is not the best teacher. It's experience that's reflected upon. As you grow in your awareness and you're learning things on the journey, take time to reflect on what you're experiencing. This is both thinking and contemplation. God has given you a brain. It's well formed. It's being formed and shaped by the Holy Spirit, so we need to use that thing. The way of Jesus is not just thinking about things, but it's not less than that either. Remember Paul, who is exhorting us to practice these things. Before he says practice, there are things to think about. So when you are learning things that are new and you're being challenged by something new, don't react negatively. If you're reading the scriptures or you hear a sermon and there's something new that's challenging you, don't reject it. Take that challenge and reflect on it. Think about it. Don't freak out, but do a little reflection. And by the way, we don't do our thinking by ourselves. Now, of course, thinking is something that you do within your own head. But as Christians, we think together in community. So when you're reading something or you hear something in a sermon that challenges you, don't freak out. Think about it. Talk with other people. Help them to help you put the pieces together. Begin to write things down. Journal. If you don't journal already, I encourage you to do that. It's a way to think on paper. Or if you have to thumb it on your phone or type it, you can do that too. But I encourage you to write it down. Write down the things that you're learning, things you're seeing, things you're hearing, things you're experiencing. Writing it down will help you reflect. Reflection is not only thinking, but it's also what we call contemplation, what Pastor Brian calls sitting with Jesus. Reflecting includes, within prayer, this time that we just sit with Jesus. So if you're learning something new on the journey and it's challenging you, think it out loud, write it down, think it out loud with your friends, but also take that thing and sit with Jesus with it and say, Jesus, I'm reading these scriptures, I'm hearing this thing, I don't get it, and just sit with Jesus. For example, let's say on the journey you are learning, or let's say, let me back up to the whole thing. You're on the journey and you are becoming aware that in this area of community, we are called to forgive one another. And you become aware that God is active in the process of forgiveness and reconciliation. And you're learning what forgiveness really means, because forgiveness is complex. You're learning what forgiveness means, but then all of a sudden you realize that there are people in your life that you're actually supposed to forgive, and you're being challenged by that. There's people in your life, you're supposed to forgive them, you become aware, you've learned about forgiveness, now you're really aware you're supposed to forgive that person in your life, and you just are stuck, and you don't know how to do it. One of the things you can do is you can, in prayer, get to a point of what we call contemplation or sitting with Jesus, where in a time of prayer, you sit aware of the presence of Jesus and you bring that person in your imagination into the room and this idea of forgiveness and Jesus, and you just sit there. And you say, Jesus, you're here. That ornery person who hurt me is here and forgiveness is here. Now, I just sit. Help me figure this out. That's what Pastor Brian calls sitting with Jesus. If you haven't learned how to do that, I highly encourage you to check out the prayer school, Pastor Brian's prayer school. The next prayer school starts May what? I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget. May 4th. He's going to teach prayer school over 5 weeks, all the Wednesdays in May, and then the first Wednesday in June. 5:30 Wednesdays, May, in the upper room. Get signed up and be a part of prayer school, and he'll teach you how to sit with Jesus. So learning includes both thinking, journaling, thinking out loud, contemplation, sitting with Jesus. Let's conclude it now. From reflection, we move to action. Be committed to act upon what you have discovered. As I said from the very beginning, the journey has movement. Following Jesus should look like a long hike in the woods, not sitting in a classroom. Now, yes, there's times to sit and learn. Of course, it's a part of the journey, but it's not about being stagnant. It has motion and movement to it. So you are aware. You are learning. You have reflected upon what you have learned. Now it is time for action. Remember, the way of Jesus is the way of living your life, which has movement and action to it. A full exploration of worship and justice and community, which I believe will take you your whole life, a full exploration of these places in the journey is not complete until we become doers of the message and not hearers only. Now, the action I'm describing is action that flows from hearts that have been changed and animated by the Holy Spirit. It's not things that we start to do merely out of willpower. Rather, this action is stuff that grows out of transformed hearts. We begin to practice new habits and new routines. We start doing life differently because we have become aware and we have learned and we've reflected on what we've experienced. Now it's prompting us to live in a different way. So when exploring worship, you will learn how to pray. And once you learn how to pray and you've reflected on prayer, then you actually pray. Or if we go back to our forgiveness example. So you are aware of forgiveness as a part of Christian community, and you have learned what forgiveness is, and you have sat with Jesus. You've reflected on forgiveness and the people you're supposed to forgive, and you sat with Jesus, and Jesus has helped you figure out how to forgive. The practices aren't over because now you're at that moment where you actually have to go and forgive that person. See, it's not complete just to be aware, to learn, and to reflect. It's not complete until you put things in action. So here it is. These are the four practices: awareness, learning, reflection, and action. And people ask, so what do I do when I've gone the whole cycle and I've got to action? What do I do? Well, you just start over with awareness. See, this is the way it works. This is a cycle that continues throughout our Christian life. It just keeps going. Because there's what I've learned. I've learned this from experience. That if you begin to put into practice and into action those things you're learning based on those things you've reflected upon that you have learned, that you become aware of. If you put things in action, the more you start practicing the Christian life, the more you will become aware of God's presence. And a deeper awareness of the presence of God in areas like justice or worship or community, the deeper you become aware of his presence, all of a sudden you're drawn in and you learn new things. And then you reflect on those things. And then you put into practice those things. And once those things are in action, then you grow again in your awareness of God. And it continues, I believe, throughout your entire Christian life. So let's be committed to not only going on the journey, but taking these four practices with us. Amen. Stand up on your feet if you would. I invite you to begin to practice these four practices. Again, if this was a lot of information fast, you can find a description of all this on the website, Word of Life, or WOLC.com/the journey. You can find the four practices there. You might want to get a CD or the podcast, listen again. But for two millennia, Christians have been following Jesus and they've been practicing these four things. Now, in different generations, they might call it different things. They had different names for it. In different churches or different traditions, they may have different names for these four things, but this is what Christians have been doing. And because it's the wisdom from the past, we say, hey, we're going to listen to those who have gone before us and do those same things. So let's pray just a moment before we're dismissed. Let's pray, and we'll return to that place of being aware of his presence. Maybe close your eyes, if you would. You know, the Christians have a tradition of closing their eyes when they pray, simply to not be distracted by things around them. We also have a tradition of bowing our heads as a sign of humility. And humility and not being distracted is a good place to become aware of the presence of God. Let's pray. Father, we are living in a world that you created. a world that you created and a world in which you inhabit. God, there's no place that we can go, no place in this world we could go and escape your presence. Indeed, it's a God-saturated world. Because God, you're at our workplace. You're in our schools, in our homes, in our church. You're in those places that we like to play. God, you are there. And in this moment, we just want to draw our attention to you and acknowledge that you are the ever-present God. As we sang, we believe, Jesus, that you are above us, beneath us, before us, behind us, all around us. Help us now to live lives with these four practices, that we could constantly be practicing your presence, that we would constantly, Lord, be aware that you're present, that you're here. Help us to learn. Help us to be challenged and to be stretched in new ways, to learn more about your work, to learn more about who you are. Help us to be patient enough to reflect, to both think on those things that we're experiencing and to sit with you in prayer. And empower us by your Holy Spirit that we would be participants in this journey, that we would act upon the things that we are learning, that we can live faithfully in this God-saturated world as faithful followers of Jesus Christ. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we would be enabled to do these things, that, Lord, we would do them together, that your church would be unified and one, that ultimately you would be glorified. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray, and everyone said, amen. Amen. I hope you can join us.